Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Do you know who Henry Stimson is? No fair if you're an American history buff. You already know Stimson was FDR's Secretary of War during World War II, one of a handful who crafted war policy. His words were front page news, and Americans were shocked when Roosevelt, the staunch Democrat, chose him for this role because Henry Stimson was an ardent Republican who'd been in the cabinets of Republican presidents Taft and Hoover, and a critic of FDR's slow response initially to threats from Japan and Germany. But FDR felt that Stimson met the moment. Hitler was rolling across Europe. Republican isolationists like aviator Charles Lindbergh, a superstar, spoke favorably of Hitler. FDR thought a bipartisan cabinet would unite the divided country and win the war. As we watch the autocrat Putin invade Ukraine with sympathizers on the right like Tucker Carlson, author Peter Schinkel is asking, should President Biden appoint Republicans to his cabinet? Peter's new book is Uniting America, How FDR and Henry Stimson Brought Democrats and Republicans Together to Win World War II. It tells of how FDR drew up a first secret plan for a bipartisan cabinet with Republican Henry Knox. If the plan was triggered, he would ask Stimson to come on board. Peter Schinkel is here with us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
What happened to move FDR to launch this secret plan?
Well, FDR and Stimson had actually begun their relationship in 1933, and they began a dialogue behind the scenes about the importance of defending democracy. But then through the 1930s, FDR supported a piece of isolationist legislation, the Neutrality Act, which would forbid the United States from lending aid to a democratic country that was attacked. Stimson took increasing public positions against the Neutrality Act. And after the war broke out in September 1939 with Hitler's attack on Poland, FDR rejoined with Stimson, and they both began calling for the repeal of the Neutrality Act. And that took place by a bipartisan vote. And that signaled to FDR that bipartisanship really could do important things in this coming battle with fascism. And so after Nazi Germany invaded France and Belgium and the Netherlands, May of 1940, FDR realized that the time had come. Isolationists were still in power in Congress, but he needed to build an alliance with people in the Republican Party who were willing to stand up and break with their party and support defending democracy.
Well, in bringing in Stimson, it wasn't as if he was bringing in a yes man.
That's right. They had many arguments. But because their relationship was built very much on a core principle, a deep belief in the importance of defending democracy, they were able to work through those differences. They stayed together through 5 years of war, and it was an incredible relationship that brought America to victory in the Second World War.
Stay with that moment when FDR does bring Stimson in. What was the reaction?
Well, the Republican Party was outraged. Many members called Stimson and Frank Knox, who was appointed Secretary of the Navy, traitors to their party. They called upon them to reject the positions offered to them. Some even threatened to throw them out of the party. The Atlanta Constitution described it as throwing a political bomb into the Republican Party. A week later, the Republicans held their national convention. By the end of that convention, the isolationists had been pushed aside. And the dark horse candidate, who was much closer to FDR's policies on the war, Wendell Willkie, was nominated. So it had an immediate effect on the Republican Party.
Right. It's like, you know, oops, we think bipartisanship is in. The drumbeat of war is what's being listened to.
Exactly. And the call to defend democracy is really what the American people care about. Mm.
There is so much in your book that we can't possibly touch on of what Stimson did. I mean, it's pretty astonishing. He had the Pentagon built to consolidate the military, pushed for the WACs, you know, bringing women into the military, kept the country secrets about the development of the atomic bomb, built up the army, which is, you remind us, only 19th in the world, pushed for and oversaw the first peacetime draft. He was quite a force.
He was an amazing figure, and he had just a remarkable ability to motivate people and to build a team to get things done.
But not for his own promotion. I'm thinking, for instance, of Churchill. We read in your book Stimson's diaries, and he wrote that he thought Churchill was all about maintaining empire, that Churchill wanted to fight the Nazis in Africa. Stimson and General Marshall wanted to quickly attack them in France. Churchill won. FDR sent troops first to Africa. But then ahead of the eventual invasion at Normandy, D-Day, Stimson kept fighting behind the scenes for an American general to lead. He thought the Brits weren't up for the fight. And, you know, if he lost a fight, he'd wait for the next one. He'd always say, you know, I'm here to serve the president. It was never about him.
That's fair to say. It certainly was a long struggle with Churchill, but ultimately FDR sided with Stimson and agreed, and Dwight D. Eisenhower ultimately became the supreme Allied commander over D-Day.
Yeah. But there were failures in this alliance, as you point out. FDR and Stimson backed the internment of Japanese Americans after Pearl Harbor, even though Stimson notes in his diary he knew that violated their rights. They failed to integrate the military, even though they were conscious of racism. You point to the Langston Hughes poem at the time. I ask you the question because I want to know how long I get to fight both Hitler and Jim Crow. I mean, they were aware.
There's no question that the internment of Japanese Americans and the failure to desegregate the armed forces were stains on this administration's achievements.
Yeah. Since World War II, presidents have formed bipartisan cabinets, but not in times as fraught, maybe, or with roles as big as Stimson's. Biden is one of four presidents who hasn't brought someone from the opposing party, the Republican Party, into his cabinet. Why should he?
Well, if he were to look at the lessons of history and the wartime bipartisan alliance, he would see that bringing a Republican into his cabinet would enable him to reach across the aisle and to win support of Republican voters and Republican leaders, just as FDR and Stimson achieved those things during the war.
Well, yeah, during the war. This was a war that could have, if the isolationists had won, left Europe as a fascist continent, and who knows where Hitler would have stopped. What do you say to people who say, we're really not in that place? Or, secondly, where would you find the Republican that might be respected by the bulk of the leadership of the Republican Party, since Republicans who stray are considered rhino?
Well, I'm not sure where that Republican is today. I do think that there are some brave Republicans who are willing to break with their party. And I'm speaking of Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, who broke with their party to acknowledge the facts of what happened on January 6th. There are many Republicans who believe deeply in American constitutional democracy. So they're out there. Which ones will step forward and embrace a defense, a vigorous defense of democracy? I'm not sure.
Well, and an incentive might be, perhaps FDR might have been a little more political in his decisions than Stimson was, but this was for the benefit of country, pure bipartisanship. But also, it helped the Republican Party.
Well, it certainly did.
And Stimson knew it would.
Right. He did. And General Dwight Eisenhower, a few years later, would declare himself to be a Republican. He was a great admirer of Stimson's, and that directly led to the two-year presidency of Dwight Eisenhower. I'm not saying his admiration for Stimson necessarily was a precursor to that success, but it certainly had something to do with it.
Right, and the parties were courting him, and he picked Republican.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's important to recognize what hyperpartisanship, what effect it is having on the United States. You know, President George Washington famously condemned partisanship, warning that it could cause the spread of false information, hatred, and even insurrection. Mm-hmm. President Washington used that word in voicing his warning. Hyperpartisanship is damaging America today. Many Republicans have thrown their support behind a candidate whose policies look very much like those of fascists, who would overthrow constitutional governments, throw out actions of the people, such as a popular election of a president. So I think the big lesson is that American political leaders should, like FDR and Stimson, give less allegiance to their political party and devote themselves to finding the truth, reaching compromises, and solving the problems that we face.
Peter Schinkel, again, his book is Uniting America, How FDR and Henry Stimson Brought Democrats and Republicans Together to Win World War II. Just a terrific read. Peter, thank you so much.
Thank you.